You're now listening to The Freedman Show, where we discuss Black news, politics, and culture. And I'm your host, Jahadu. Hello, you all. This is Jahadu coming at you all from The Freedman Show. And this evening, I wanted to come and show you all and talk to you all about how redlining continues to shape racial segregation in Milwaukee. And I wanted to call this segment Growing Up Milwaukee. You see, I'm from Milwaukee. And I grew up on 10th and Ring, you know, down the street from 10th and Burleigh. I might as well say 10th and Burleigh. And man, was it bad over there. Extremely bad over there. You know, I remember 1/4 of July, you know, gunshots was in my grandmother's house. And if you looked outside, you could see people throwing firecrackers at each other. And, you know, growing up over there was very difficult. You know, but my grandparents, they made it very easy. You know, they took great care of me and my aunties, you know, who I grew up with. You know, but yeah, it was very hard growing up over there. I'm surprised my granddad even let us ride our bikes. You know, but just living in that area, you could feel, you know, how bad it was. You know, I remember riding my bike once, and you know, I don't know if the person was drunk or what have you, but they came up on the curb and they almost hit me. You know, I've witnessed gang fights. I've witnessed a lot of things, you know, growing up on 10th and Burleigh. And I don't feel like things have changed that much between now and then. Actually, I think things have gotten way worse. And I know that in that area over there, like they have some of the top cancer rates in that area, you know. And I know why things are like that are going on, and a lot of the reason why things are like that is going on is because, again, what I've been talking about, what we've been through. You know, we've been through slavery, Jim Crow era, civil rights movement, redlining, mass incarceration. You know, all of this stuff is having residual effects on our people. And to know that redlining is still going on, and to know that ADOS, to know that Blacks are at an economical disadvantage on purpose, and this has been going on for years and years and years, and knowing that now that I'm older, how growing up in these neighborhoods were artificially made and funded by the U.S. government from things like the FHA loan and Blacks not having access to them and being locked into one area. You know, we gonna get into it, though. We gonna get into it. We gonna talk about it. So I'm about to read this article from WisContext, that's the website. And again, the name of the article is How Redlining Continues to Shape Racial Segregation in Milwaukee. It says a 1930s lending map reveals policy roots of housing discrimination. And ain't nothing changed, y'all. I'm gonna let y'all know now. Ain't nothing changed. So it says, Milwaukee is one of the most racially segregated cities in the United States. And one of segregation's most meaningful engines was the historical practice of redlining. Policies limited the option of prospective homeowners who were people of color, Black people, shaped the city for nearly a century. Redlining is a term that describes the discriminatory practices of denying minorities populations access to equal loan, and housing opportunities. Emerging in the 1930s, redlining was embraced in the real estate industry for decades and shaped the social landscape of numerous American cities, large and small. Indeed, the racial segregation patterns of many of the cities, including Milwaukee, to this day look extremely similar to the patterns set by redlining. You know, and there you have it. I'm going to continue, but I want to tell my story in between these stops so y'all get what I'm saying. So me as an adult now, I see why I was growing up in those quote unquote bad areas. You have a group of people who went through all of this stuff that I've been talking about, who've been put at an economical disadvantage, and you put them all in one place, purposely, knowing their condition and stopping them from acquiring wealth via things like owning properties in good areas. You all know if you own a property in a quote unquote nice area, that the property value is going to go up. The property value is gonna go up, and it's gonna maintain its property, and that's something that you need to be given access to pass down from generations to generations. And if you don't have access to do that, you're not gonna be able to build wealth. You could take equity out of home and use that to buy more properties. So the areas that they were keeping the black people out of, they could have been using those areas to build to buy houses, build equity, and buy other properties. You know, I wouldn't doubt that the same places, the quote unquote hoods that black people are living in and then walking all over the country from things like this happening throughout our history, I wouldn't doubt that it's owned by the same people that's doing this stuff, that did this stuff. Their family did this and created these situations years ago, and now they're benefiting off of it, and the same things continue to happen. That's why you see gentrification happening all over, like in Milwaukee, with how segregated it is. The inner city of Milwaukee, it looks bad. It looks like a war zone. The streets are messed up. It's ridiculous, you know. And we gonna get into that, you know. We gonna get into this, you know. We gonna get into the fact that the Bucks made it to the playoffs. The Bucks made it to the playoffs, and the five serve form cost $547 million to build. But Milwaukee streets are still messed up. Why is all this money going to that? We gonna get into that. Let's continue. All right. A New Deal era housing policy. All right. Let's talk about it, you all, cause man, this is wild. All right. It says the Civil Rights Act of 1964. And the Fair Housing Act passed in 1968 made discrimination in housing opportunities based on race against the law. However, over a half a century later, racial segregation by neighborhoods remained very pronounced. Looking at the historical practice and legal structure of redlining can shed a light on how residential segregation in Milwaukee was birthed and maintained, and how it informs current patterns of racial segregation. You know, so this is still happening. So when my brothers and sisters in Milwaukee going down the street and they hitting potholes, this is why. Because of things like redlining and property value. Okay, so the city of Milwaukee and the school systems, the school systems, they're getting their funding from things like property taxes. They're getting their funding from things like property taxes that play a role in the areas and in the locations and how they're taken care of. So they getting funded for the schools and the students from property taxes and other things in those general areas. And those areas are able to maintain and stay built up correctly. But when you have places like 10th and Burleigh, or when you have places like Keith, or when you have places like Cherry Street, you know, near the downtown area, you got over by the Martin Luther King Center, you know, you got places like in areas like that that's being neglected. You got places like that being neglected. And you know why? It's due to redlining. It's due to segregation. And my people went through it then, and they still going through it now. But the city of Milwaukee spent $547 million on the five-star front. So we can see the Milwaukee Bucks go to the playoffs. I mean, man, I'm not the brightest man in the world. But I would say that the priorities in Milwaukee right now, as far as what funding going to, is real jacked up right now. You know, I think we should build up some of these underprivileged areas. I think the money should be taken and given to that. I mean, why not? Why not? Don't you think they deserve it? Don't you think those areas deserve it? Don't you think it would make a divine change on those people if those areas was built up? Bring life to those areas? This is not right. This is not right at all. But you already knew that. Let's continue. All right. There's a New Deal era housing policy. In an effort to promote economic recovery during the Great Depression, the United States government implemented several policies through the 1930s. One major policy was the National Housing Act of 1934, which created the Federal Housing Administration. One primary goal of these efforts was to slow down the rate of housing foreclosure, which were rampant as Americans struggled to find and keep jobs during the economic depths of the Depression. Man, and just foreshadowing that the FHA, they didn't help black people. They turned them away. You know, they turned them away. That's why you got stuff like this still happening today, and why Milwaukee is in the state that it's in, and why ADOS, why black people are in these conditions like this in Milwaukee. You know, all of this stuff is residual. All of this stuff is residual. You know, so when you see my brothers and sisters, quote unquote, wilding out when they see us, or when you see all of that stuff happening, think about what's been done to them. And I'm not making excuses for anybody out here committing crimes or doing anything like that. But what I'm telling you is that this, things like redlining, made what I call the black man and woman's concentration camp. When you take an oppressed group of people and you continuously oppress them, and they lack resources, and they lack basic resources, they gonna go into survival mode. They gonna do things that are quote unquote uncommon to the rest of the world. They gonna do what they need to do to survive. And that's what this is about. This is about survival. You know? And this is just one side of things. Just one side of things. You know, ADOS, American descendants of slaves, black people in America, you deserve reparations. When you think of reparations, you can't just think of slavery. You got to think about the stuff like we're talking about right now. Let's get back to it. During this time, the FHA worked with the Homeowners Loan Corporation, a government-sponsored lending agency known as HOLC, that issued bonds to refinance mortgages for homeowners struggling to keep up HOLC, also created Residential Security Map that identifies specific neighborhoods as high or low risk investments. These maps were used by bank and finance entities in making lending and other investment decisions. Based on instructions from the HOLC, the assessors who created these maps systematically outlined residents and rated neighborhoods based on of the aesthetics and age of houses, their proximity to recreational facilities and environmental hazards, and the characteristics of the people who lived in each neighborhood. Man. So they pretty much looked at a map and was able to say, okay, we're gonna put these black people, we're gonna put them here, here, and here. Oh, there's lead in the water. We heard there's lead gonna be in the water over here. Oh, let's put them over here. Oh, the land not good here. We can't really grow nothing on this land. Let's put them over here. Y'all see what I'm saying? You know, this, again, this is what the hood to me, I call it the black man and woman's concentration camp. And I call it that from stuff like this. And I call it like that because what's happening to us today, what happened to us then, is still affecting us now. So it's not no coincidence of what's going on with my brothers and sisters in the hood, or why they keep going through these things, or why, you know, stuff keep on going on. You know, they're frustrated. They're very frustrated. And again, I'm not making excuses. I'm not condoning violence. I'm not condoning criminal activity. But when you take a group of people and you oppress them so much, you know, that causes mental disorders. That causes things like post-traumatic stress, anxiety, and a whole list of other things. As I was saying, yes, we do deserve reparations. But let me continue, you guys. I hope y'all feeling me, and I hope I'm painting this picture for you all. All right, so and by the way, the HOLC stands for Homeowners Loan Corporation. Just so you all know, all right. Says consistent with the overt racism and other bigotry of the era, many of the appraisal questions were explicitly concerned with the demographics of the residents, the race, national origin, ethnicity, and religion of the people occupying neighborhoods were part of the HOLC's assessment of an area's worthiness for investment. The resulting grading system categorized neighborhoods on maps, reflecting the prejudices of the evaluators and the ingrained bias of the system as a whole. Man, and this is still going on right today, because it's clear as day, because ain't nothing changed, and it's only gotten worse. And y'all see what they say? The assessment of an area's worthiness for investment. Oh, but Wells Street is so close to downtown. Cherry Street is so close to downtown. But y'all got, the city of Milwaukee got $547 million to build the five-serve form. Watch the Bucks go to the playoffs and make more money off of that for the city, but not invest in these areas? Not invest in the roads in Milwaukee? Got people going down the road and messing up their cars, costing them all kind of money. You know, the people car shocks are shocked that they gotta be on the roads messing the car up. You hit a pothole, your bumper gone. You hit a pothole. You know, like, you need that money. You need that money because you ADOS, you black, growing up in these detrimental environments, and your money is precious. You got to feed your family. You got business to take care of that money. You don't got that money to be driving on these roads, hitting potholes, because the city of Milwaukee want to spend $547 million on a basketball arena, but don't want to spend the money on these areas and the roads to help the people who are helping the Bucks, you know, as far as selling out tickets and, you know, bringing the city together. You know how we can bring the city together even more if Milwaukee fix the road and they fix up these areas that are being affected and have been systematically oppressed by redlining. That's what the city of Milwaukee can do. Instead of us focusing on the Bucks so much going to the playoffs and things of this nature, we need to work on the city. The city really needs to be worked on. We watching basketball games, but we can't even bounce a basketball on the ground without the ball messing up. We talking about going to somebody we talking about going to a basketball game, people bouncing in for inflated basketball, you know, but we driving on these streets and our tires being deflated. Where we at with it, you all? Really? Where we at with it? Where we at with it? Let's get back to it. Let's get back to the knowledge. The HOLC developed 4 district categories when mapping neighborhoods. These categories were meant to serve as a basis for a financial institute to determine the perceived desirability and risks of investing in the neighborhood. The categories were color-coded: green, blue, yellow, and red, in increasing order or risk and corresponding decreasing order of desirability. The best areas were given a grade A and code green and were deemed to be a great neighborhood for lenders. They were ideal in that the neighborhoods were structurally sound, visually appealing, and composed of exclusively white residents. For example, the assessors of Washington Highland in the suburbs of Wauwatosa rated this subdivision an A based on its status as a highly restricted and exclusive area. He noted that an area had a controlling building committee, which permits a wide latitude of discrimination in accepting residents in the neighborhood. Man, my Milwaukee brothers and sisters. And y'all wonder why y'all neighborhoods look so messed up. Or y'all looking around and y'all wonder why these things look like this. But you go to the downtown area, you go to areas in Wauwatosa, and everything's fine. Everything's peachy. Everything is beautiful. And then you go back to the city of Milwaukee and you go to the zoo, you know, you go to Brown Street, you go up Hampton, you go up Fond du Lac, you go up Burlock, and it look like a lie outside. Am I really living in this? Is this serious? Y'all know why it's like that? From systematic oppression, redlining. They don't care. They clearly don't care. Because if they did, this wouldn't still be happening. And you wouldn't see the effects of this. Instead of spending that money on the Bucks Arena, the five-star forum from 2016 to 2018, they would have been building up those areas like that. But we watching basketball. You know, while the city of Milwaukee residents, while they tires being deflated by those bad roads, Milwaukee Bucks players still going to be bouncing that basketball on the ring. Still going to be filling it up. Why air coming out our tires
The Milwaukee Bucks still going to be playing basketball with an inflated basketball. Well, we need our tires inflated, city of Milwaukee. We need to have our tires inflated. How about that? That's what I want. And that's what we all want. And I'm pretty sure that that's something we all can relate to. And it's that's just that. You know, let's just get back to it, you guys. You know, man, this is what's been going on. Man. All right. Washington Highlands was the first Metro Milwaukee neighborhood to implement specific restrictions on the race of the people who could live there, as described in a 1979 report by the Metropolitan Integration Research Center. When Washington Highlands was developed in 1919, the property deeds of the development specified that at no time shall the land include in Washington Heights or any part thereof or any building thereon be purchased, owned, leased, or occupied by any person other than of white race. This restriction remained in place until it was made illegal during the Civil Rights era. I mean, I could keep going on and on and on, you guys. I could keep going on and on. So, all of this type of stuff shaped segregation in Milwaukee. It shaped the racial disparities. It shaped all of these disparities that's going on in our inner city. And it also shaped our lives. And it's still shaping our lives. It shaped my life when I was growing up in Milwaukee on 10th and Ring, on 10th and Burlock. And it's affecting your lives right now to this day. Till this day. You know, I mean, man, till this day. You know, like, I don't know what else to say, man. Like, all I know is that we need to be treated better. And I'm sure that all of you could agree to that. That we need to be treated better in, you know, in this American society. Because we've been going through it for a long time. Our brothers and sisters dying and going to jail off of stuff like this, not having access to this wealth. Imagine if black people did have access to those areas. Imagine that. And how much wealth they could have built, and how diverse the city would be, and how much wealth you and your family would have had when they moved to Milwaukee and was able to get these areas at a lower price, moving these areas at an acceptable price and not being pushed out. Think of how different our lives would have been. Think of how different your lives would have been. Your family lives would have been. Think of that. Let's keep it going. Let's keep it going, you guys. Like, this is my longest podcast, but you know, I want to hold this to the heart so you all can feel what I'm talking about. You know, and going through emotions with this. Like, let's not just focus on Milwaukee. Look in your area and see how redlining shaped that area, and see how this just shaped your community in general as a whole. You know, because I would have to say that this is wrong, and there needs to be a positive discourse for things like this not to continue. This stuff needs to be known by the masses. So when you see people acting out or wilding out, you won't be so quick to point the finger. You have to understand that this has been residually placed on a certain group of people to be oppressed in so many ways, financially, economically,
And that affects them socially, mentally. We deserve reparations. We really do. We really do, because all of these people are benefiting. All of these people now are benefiting off of all of this stuff that's taking place in the past in the city of Milwaukee. They are benefiting off of it. And that's not fair to the people's families who are living now, because their families got oppressed from buying properties in these nicer upscale areas. They had a map of the whole landscape, and they use that knowledge to oppress a certain group of people and lock them out of wealth. As if slavery wasn't enough. As if the Jim Crow era wasn't enough. Let's keep it going. Let's get through this. Areas coded blue or grade B were deemed still desirable. These spaces were often older but still worthy of investment. Lenox Heights, located next to Wauwatosa, was graded blue, with 1938 notes that indicated it was a spotty area, one of the older sections of West Milwaukee with a substantial population. The assessors noted that there was a mix of fine homes and lower class residents, but that it was well maintained. As with green rated neighborhoods, there were no African Americans living in this area, and only a few foreign-born families. Man. Definitely declining areas received grades of C, or coded yellow. Home buyers were thought of as unstable purchasers, and investors often proceeded with caution. In 1938 Milwaukee, yellow neighborhoods were the most common type. Arlington Heights, Franklin Heights, Williamsburg Heights, and Bouchard Field were all graded yellow in that year. In the 2010s, these neighborhoods located on the city's north side are notably popular by African Americans, but at the time of the assessment, they included no black residents. Man, you guys. So, if you're from Milwaukee and you listen to this, and you walk outside your door, and you see certain areas that's been oppressed, and you see areas that are good, know that the people in those areas, their families, benefited off of this a long time ago. They probably locked you and your family out of wealth a long time ago, and now their peers, their offsprings and whatnot, is they're now benefiting off of what redlining has done to black people, or ADOS, or in that area. They're benefiting off of that. They're benefiting off the oppression. They're benefiting off of the residual effects of everything that has happened to us. You know, and I would implore anybody who listens to this from the city of Milwaukee to contact your mayor. Contact the mayor. Like, y'all need to contact y'all mayor. Y'all really do. You know, contact your mayor and just let him know what's going on. Let him know what's going on with the roads, and let him know how you feel about the current state of the city of Milwaukee. That's what needs to be done. It's time to wake up, my beautiful people. It's time to wake up. It really is. You know. Let me continue. We're gonna get through this. We're gonna get through this. You know, this is information that needs to be heard and shared. You know, so the assessors forecasted a long downward trend in property value due to the age of the housing stock in these neighborhoods' locations near a railroad line to the west in Union Cemetery in the midst. All right, and then it says it continues and it goes on to say. However, the assessors also predicted that the area would sustain value for some time because of the conservative German influence of the residents. The area was occupied by wage earners, Germans of the first, second, and third generation. Predominating overwhelmingly. So anything based on wealth or anything based on anything that has to do with wealth, anything that has to do with money, it's like they kept black people from it. They didn't want them to buy houses. They already knew that they were struggling from things like slavery in the Jim Crow era. Then you add redlining on top of it. And you have an extremely oppressed group of people. And they knowingly did this. And not only did they knowingly did this years and years and years ago, but they knowingly do it now. The worst grade was D, coded red, and was the most detrimental in intent and effect. And the area categorized as red was tagged with the label hazardous for investment. According to the people doing the assessment, these neighborhoods were old and in poor condition and had African-American people living there. You see? So they put us through slavery, Jim Crow era, redlining, and they call us poor. Calling us poor? Look what's been done to us. You see, that's why in 2019, when the talk of reparations is on the table, it needs to stay on the table. And it needs to be going into the right hands and it needs to be addressed. And that's why everybody, all my brothers and sisters, need to follow the ADOS movement. You know, you shout out to Tone Talks. You see Tone Talks on YouTube. Shout out Yvette Carnell, you know, on Breaking Brown, Sandy Derrick. You know, people like that, you know, they got the talking the movement of reparations going. And we have to support it because we've been oppressed for too long and it's still happening today. And it really needs to stop. And it really needs to be a positive discourse to what's going on. Or, you know, there's not going to be no recovering from this. You know, this has been like our people have been living through a nonstop Great Depression. This is like black people has been living through a nonstop economical Great Depression on purpose from oppressive tactics like this. Man, let's get through this, you all. In contemporary Milwaukee, the Howard Park, Hillside, and Haymarket neighborhoods located just north of the city downtown were given a red rating. The rating was explained in the assessment with notes. This is the Negro and slum area of Milwaukee. It is old and very raggedy. Besides the colored people, a large number of lower type Jews are moving into the section. Man. So my Jewish brothers and sisters, we was just all in the concentration camps together. You know, and no disrespect to you all history, but as far as Black history and how America has affected us, the hood and these slums are the Black man and woman's concentration camp. So yeah, this is horrible, man. You know, learning all of this, and man, it makes no sense. You know, rest in peace to all my Jewish brothers and sisters who were slain by Nazis in the German concentration camp. That was wrong. So rest in peace to all my brothers and sisters. I mean, no disrespect by what I said, and I understand. So much love to you all. All right, so just getting back to it. The assessors estimated the neighborhood to have been occupied mostly by laborers and near do-wells, which you know what they meant. They meant nigger do-wells, like well-doing niggers. They just bleeped it out. You know, well-to-do niggers, people who trying to strive for excellence and move about all of this oppression. Man, with a 65% African American population and 25% Russian Jewish population, a group that was also considered a threat to property values during this time, neighborhoods with Black and other racial minority residents were deemed synonymous with hazardous when it came to financial appraisal. Man, you see how you see the way that they see us, and ain't nothing changed, man. Nothing changed. You know, I'm gonna stop right there as far as that goes. You know, and I wanted to speak on this some more. So let me just give y'all some insight. What led me to make this podcast is that I've been going through an evolution. I've been going through an awakening of learning about my history and my people. And to know that I grew up in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and that my whole life, my whole existence was shaped by a group of people looking up at maps and saying that this area is bad. Let's put them over here. Oh, this area is good. Let's put our people over here. To know that my whole life was shaped by that. The things that I seen, the things that I saw that I just thought was natural to me at a young age, my whole life growing up in Milwaukee was shaped by a group of people trying to come up and lock Black people out of wealth, building opportunities, sending them to areas on purpose that they knew were hazardous, that they knew were harmful for them in more ways than one. Areas that they knew where the property value was going to stay down and wasn't going to appreciate. Areas where they knew that the property taxes in those areas would be low or what have you. And that those people in that area, their children weren't going to be able to go to good schools because schools get their funding from property taxes. And to think. That those same people who bought houses and bought properties in these upscale areas, you know, they probably own all the houses in these quote unquote hood areas, in these quote unquote bad areas, you know, in these quote unquote red areas. They probably still own the property in those areas that are still in Milwaukee today, still look like quote-unquote slums or this, that, or the third. So, they getting paid off the richer areas in Milwaukee that was passed down to them from generation or that they still maintain. And they also are probably getting paid off of the living conditions, the poor living conditions off of ADOS, off of American Descendants of Slavery. So it's just all one big game. It's just all one big economical monopoly game. They plan. Imagine playing Monopoly, and yo, the banker is stealing money from the bank. You know, and you start off with your $300, but they start off with $3,000. You tell me who's gonna win. You tell me who's gonna win that game of Monopoly, you or them. You know, and they not playing fair. They really not playing fair, and they haven't been paying fair. But you know, I wanted to come to you all today and put this on your hearts, put this on your minds, put this on your soul. You know, contact your governor, contact the mayor of Milwaukee. And let them know what's going on. Why are we spending $547 million for the Fiserv Arena to go watch the Bucks play basketball, selling out tickets? And the arena looks so good. Don't it look nice? Don't it look that nice? Y'all want to go see a game yet? Ask them why the arena looks so nice, but the road's still jacked up. You know, ask them why the arena looks so nice, but 10th and Burleigh area still look jacked up. Ask them why the road's so nice, but Hampton, you know, Fond du Lac, you know, areas like that are still messed up. But we spending upwards $600 million for an arena to go watch people play basketball. Distracting us from what's really going on. This was really going on in Milwaukee, my brothers and sisters. And it's time to wake up. Because not only has this happened in the past, it's happening right now today. It's happening right now today in 2019. Redlining, segregation, and how it's affecting our communities, and our brothers and sisters. And it needs to stop. So are we going to talk about it, or are we going to be about it? Choice is out. This has been Jahadu. I want to come with y'all from the Freedman Show. And I just want to put this on you all hearts and minds today. And, you know, if y'all have anything that y'all want to say to me about this, you know, please drop a voicemail or hit me up on Instagram at the Freedman Show. And all my brothers and sisters, I want you all to have a good day, a good afternoon, or a good night. And please talk about this with your families. Talk about this with everybody. Let them know this, especially if you live in Milwaukee, especially if you grew up, you know, especially if you grew up in these areas, and especially if you didn't know this type of stuff and you think back of how this shaped your life. All right. This is Jahadu, and again, this segment is called Growing Up Milwaukee, How Redlining Shaped Segregation in Milwaukee, and continue to do so today. All right, my brothers and sisters, you all take care.